Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the Dale and Keith Show. Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Bill, were you aware of the lawsuit when you signed Antonio Brown?
I'm not going to be expanding on the statements that have already been given.
Don't you think the fans deserve to hear a little more from you on?
Well, we know more, we'll say more.
You know, could impact the team.
Yeah, I just said that.
Deserve to hear a little bit more.
Well, we know more, we'll say more.
Are you preparing to have Antonio Brown at practice today?
Yes.
And are you preparing for him to play on Sunday?
We're taking it one day, just like we always do.
Preparing for the possibility that he could be on the commissioner's
We're preparing for one day at a time.
That was the highlights. I mean, that was the friendly part of the press conference.
Yikes.
Which got sort of unfriendly.
Holy smokes.
And I don't think stormed from the podium is too harsh a phrase to describe.
Was he prepared for that?
I believe he was.
Did he think that's exactly how it was going to go?
I think he did.
I think you're right.
And was probably looking for the point where he could pull the plug and Stacey could give the... Thank you, everybody.
Anything on Miami?
Yeah, how come it's so hard to play down there? So you guys struggled down in Miami. What's that about? Is it hot? What's the problem?
I would love to have seen what that answer was.
He would have given like 10 minutes on that. He would have been like, oh, it's a good team.
That would have been a great opportunity
there, coaches.
To find out what's the problem every time.
What's going on down in Miami?
Right, somebody should have slipped that one in.
Yeah. Miami lost. They just barely lost to the Ravens on Sunday. What were your takeaways? But no, that was all Antonio Brown all the time. You could tell a lot of news people
the
down there.
The one news item, and you pointed this out.
The one hard news thing
is he's going to be on the practice field today.
He's practicing.
Because that was the question we had. If he was placed on the commissioner's exempt list, he's not allowed to practice or play or travel with the team.
Right.
He can be in the facility. He can work out. He can go to meetings. But the fact that he's on the field means that if the league is considering putting him on that list, they haven't done so yet.
As it stands right now, the Patriots are 100% still sticking by Antonio Brown. They say they're going to investigate.
Right.
The league is going to investigate. They take it seriously. They're saying all the right things, but he is very much on the team. He is out on the, or he will be on the practice field today. I don't think you practice on Wednesday knowing that you're not going to play on Sunday, right?
Right,
if he's out there, I think the hope and the expectation would be he plays on Sunday. He's not on the commissioner's exempt list yet. They're going to talk to the league is going to talk to his accuser next week.
Right. They probably are going to talk to him sometime in the near future,
yeah,
right?
You would think so.
Because the league's got to get both sides of the stories.
Right, right.
Very similar to Tyreek Hill. I think they talked to Tyreek and his fiance.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe one of the things that, helped Tyreek Hill in his situation is in their mind, they felt like when he did talk to them, he was very, forthcoming and telling the truth or whatever. So if Antonio Brown knew this was coming and, they'd known for a while that this potentially could rear its ugly head. And, when his lawyer puts out the statement where, he's denying this and now he knows, all right, I'm going to talk to the league and he's going to probably give him everything that he knows he can give him.
And Dale, you think or you believe that the Patriots did know?
I think
about
they knew that there was
before.
Something that
something.
Was being alleged.
Yeah.
That was one of the questions
that he batted away.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they knew there was going to be a lawsuit filed Monday. I'm not sure anybody knew other than the woman and her attorney.
Right, but the chance of it was out there.
I think that, and even Adam Schefter said he was getting text messages over the weekend. Not specifically, but kind of hinting there was something going on here.
See, I think that comes out, though. I think that will come out in the next couple of days, that, whether or not Oakland knew about it, whether or not Pittsburgh knew about this last year, right?
Yeah.
I think those things will start to come out and we'll maybe start to get some type of timeline.
Well, there's also a teammate who could be a potential witness, and we don't know who that is.
Right.
But according to everything that we were going over yesterday, there's a former teammate of Brown's
in the house. Her civil suit alleges that.
So
Drew Rosenhaus is on SportsCenter even as we speak and said this a moment ago.
The moment I learned about the lawsuit, Antonio and I have been unfortunately anticipating this possibility. And what I want to emphasize is that Antonio takes these allegations very seriously. He is a loving father of five children, including a daughter. I myself am a father, and I have two children, two daughters that I love very much, along with my wife. I wouldn't be doing this interview if I didn't believe Antonio. These allegations are false. He denies every one of them. I am very confident that his legal team has facts that will prove this. All we can ask for is that people keep in mind that this is a civil matter. This is not a criminal matter. This is a civil case right now, and there's a procedure. I've been an NFL agent for 30 years, and my concern is that people judge Antonio without knowing the facts.
Okay, well, speaking of the facts, you just...
All right, so he said Antonio and I have been anticipating the possibility of a lawsuit. So they've known that this was in the pipeline. They've known that this could happen.
My guess is that
they told the Patriots
100%.
Right.
100%.
There is no way Drew Rosenhaus is going to let Bill Belichick get blindsided by this. And Belichick then says, wait a minute, you knew this was at least possible?
And he has so many clients, including Gronk. And then there are so many guys that he represents, so they have to deal a lot. And if he had that and then you blindside him with it, then, yeah, that would ruin that relationship.
Doesn't that tell us then that maybe now that the Oakland Raiders knew about it?
Yeah. I wouldn't rule that out.
Well, because Drew Rosen...
although their relationship was quite poor.
Yeah, but he said, unfortunately...
They've been anticipating this
for a while. We've been anticipating this for a while.
Right.
So maybe this is something that...
He didn't say a while. He just said, Antonio and I have been anticipating the possibility.
But he's been on the team less than a week.
Right.
So
right.
My guess is...
I think they've known.
The Raiders probably
did know. This was a possibility. And my guess is he even shared that with Mike Mayock and John Gruden.
Right.
Again, you are not doing yourself any favors. If he said he's been an agent for 30 years. If you want to continue to be an agent,
right.
If you're hiding that stuff from guys who are paying your client millions of dollars,
yeah.
He also told SportsCenter a few moments ago that they will, in fact, talk to the NFLPA.
I've spoken with the NFL Players Association. I have not talked to the NFL. The NFL has spoken with the NFLPA. I've been an NFL agent for over 30 years now, and I've been involved in working with the NFL and the NFLPA on issues like this. I've represented many athletes that have been in this position before. What I want to emphasize to everybody is please allow the situation to play itself out. Antonio will cooperate. He will cooperate with the Patriots, with the NFL, with any investigation, with the NFLPA, and in time, Antonio will be cleared. These allegations in the lawsuit are false. They are not true. They are absolutely untrue.
Now, obviously, he's going to say that no matter
what.
Yeah,
right.
But the whole cooperation thing, it sounds as though Antonio is saying, listen, I'll talk to anybody.
Whatever you
want.
Talk
to the league.
Let's do it.
I'll talk to the Patriots. I'll talk to the Players Association. But tell me where you want me to go next.
And the tricky part is, and I understand what Rosenhaus is saying, where he says, hey, you know, before anybody jumps to conclusions, let's see this play out. But how does that impact the player? Like, if you're going to let it play out, how long does that take? Well, and if you're talking about letting it play out in court, I mean, that's the whole season is gone.
Well,
how do you go about that?
Well, the interesting part is when he goes, I want everybody to remember that this is a civil case.
Right, criminal.
Not criminal. So it's kind of like he's saying, you know what, don't instantly try to pass judgment because there's been no criminal investigation. There's, you know, been no evidence against him to do this. This is a civil case. This is her word against him. And let that play out. And at the end of it, you'll see that my client is telling the truth and all these accusations are false.
Now, obviously, he's representing Antonio Bryant. He's got a vested interest in putting out Antonio's side of the story. And he talks about what Brittany Taylor is doing here.
I'm advising him to let the truth come out. I'm advising him to concentrate on football. I'm advising him to cooperate with the Patriots, with the NFL, with the NFLPA. Antonio and I both strongly believe that these allegations are very serious. In no way do we condone any type of illegal conduct, misbehavior. None of that happened here.
Okay, this so in light of all the grab. Turmoil surrounding Antonio Brown.
I repeat this. This is a money grab.
Okay, I understand, and that is how you fear.
Maybe you could shut up and let him say it.
She's really talking over him.
Who is that?
At the end of every single question, she's talking over him.
He had to repeat it twice. He said, this is a money grab.
He's saying it's a money grab.
Now, the obvious...
aggressive interview.
The obvious question here, and it's a good question, is why should the Patriots believe Antonio Brown?
Well, let's keep in mind that this conduct that is being alleged supposedly centers around a relationship in 2018. This has nothing to do with Antonio's foot injury. This has nothing to do with the helmet issue. This has nothing to do with the issues they have with the Oakland Raiders. This has nothing to do with the New England Patriots. This has to do with allegations going back to a year and a half ago.
And then the money question for many of us, because he's already obviously defended his client as he gets 100%. Paid to do and should.
Right.
The question then comes up about whether or not the Patriots knew about the possibility when they signed Antonio over the weekend.
I'm not going to get into that element. I'm not going to get into my discussions with the Patriots or what may or may not have been discussed. I just want to reiterate, people should please keep in mind that Antonio denies these allegations. He will have a full investigation. He will go through the legal process, and we will cooperate. And there are facts out there that will come to light that will establish that he is indeed not guilty of any of these accusations. This is a civil matter, and this is a proceeding where the accuser is seeking financial gain.
This, all right, Jim Rosenhaus joining us here to tell us that he believes his client is innocent, and the fact that these allegations, in your opinion, are extremely serious, as well as Antonio's opinion.
Kerry Champion's had enough, I guess.
All right, we got to get Paul Feinbaum in here to rank the SEC now, so we'll see you later. That's a pretty good interview to get Rosenhaus, and there's a reason why he's the best agent in football, right?
Sure, I understand you don't let him filibuster. Mm-hmm. You know, he probably would have a tendency to do that if he can.
But he still gives you stuff.
But when he's telling you things about Antonio Brown and the accusations, and let him finish the sentence.
I wouldn't be surprised if Rosenhaus and Belichick even had some sort of discussion recently, and one of the key things was, and maybe Rosenhaus is smart enough where he doesn't need to be told this, but it's no surprise to me that when he was asked, did the team know about it? Yeah, I'm not getting it. I'm not going there.
Right. Because he doesn't want to put them in a tough position.
100%.
And he's already kind of had his wrist slapped by the Patriots reportedly about, hey, can you stop talking about your client signing here?
But if you,
and he already knows, I better not.
If you put the pieces together, he admits that he knew about it.
Well,
for a while.
He
admits that he did. And then he won't answer the Patriots one because the Patriots also won't answer it. They don't want it to be known one way or the other. So Rosenhaus is just staying on the same page there. That's all that.
I'm not going to get into my discussions with the Patriots.
Smart.
They don't want you to.
You heard him say at the beginning of it that, unfortunately, him and Antonio Brown have, they've been anticipating this. So clearly, if he's going to, however long they might have been anticipating this, they went to, whether it's the Raiders, whether if they knew this back in 2018 with the Pittsburgh Steelers and said, hey, we're anticipating this potentially happening sometime somewhere down the road. So it seems like whatever team it was, and that's why it's going to be interesting to find out, and that's what it seems like that his agent is doing here, saying you're going to start to see this information come out. As far as what we knew, here's the evidence that we have to, want that clears Antonio Brown of this, all these accusations being false.
Can you imagine if they were talking to Rosenhaus and they said, all right, the feet are cleared up. He's got a helmet that he likes. Okay. He threatened to punch Mayock.
Right.
Anything else that we need to know?
Right.
And they're like, nope.
Nope.
Should be good. Like, that's it. You guys know all of it. And then this comes out, then they'd probably cut him right away, or they wouldn't deal with Rosenhaus or whatever. That would really fracture the relationship. So
I'll say this: Drew Rosenhaus said that his words, not mine. Antonio and I have been unfortunately anticipating this possibility.
Mm-hmm.
If they've been anticipating it and he's negotiating a contract with Bill Belichick and the Patriots and neglects to bring that up.
And guess what? Patriots don't care. Patriots will take him anyway.
Well, they yes and no. If they thought there was any possibility of this being true, they would really care. If they thought
No, I disagree. I think if they knew that it could be proved.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If they thought...
No, there's a difference, though. He could do this, and he could still be found not guilty, or it could get settled, or whatever, and he could still be eligible to play. I just think they want him to play.
Their concern is, though, and I think the Patriots' concern, and I agree with you, Dale. I think that Drew had to tell them, because if you don't, it's a bad look.
Oh, he definitely told them.
Because I think the concern nowadays is, and we've seen this multiple times, is what always ends up happening. We saw it with Tyreek Hill, right? And there was it. And then all of a sudden, here comes an audio of Tyreek Hill and his girlfriend. We see him with Kareem Hunt. All of a sudden, here comes a video. So they're concerned because they know we live in an era where there's gonna potentially could be some video, some audio that comes out that really implicates Antonio Brown. And that would be a bad look on them if they know that they knew about it and they didn't do nothing about it.
I think it was Adam Schefter who said that the Patriots were reportedly blindsided by this. With all due respect to one of the best NFL reporters in the country, I don't believe that.
I don't either.
I don't think they were blindsided. I think Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown at least brought up the possibility.
Right.
Hey, look, just so you're aware, we hope this doesn't happen, but it could.
Right.
And at that point, they're professing innocence, and I think we're going to be able to prove he didn't do any of this
stuff. Especially because Rosenhaus admits that they knew about it.
Right.
It's one thing that if he was like, where did this come from? Well, then, of course, how the hell did the Patriots?
We had no idea.
If they didn't know, that's your client. How did he not know? But if they know, then the Patriots definitely know. And also, as good as Brown is, I wonder if just that part of it, them kind of hiding information or lying to the Patriots, he might have gotten caught immediately, even if he didn't do this. Just sort of that behavior of trying to keep secrets from him right away. They're saying, well, then, like, the Patriots are pretty damn good even without him.
Right.
Like, they're still going to be a Super Bowl contender without him. So they might have just sent a message and immediately cut him. The fact that they didn't makes me feel like, they knew this could be a possibility.
And then that does make the Schefter report, like, it kind of makes it look like, well, if the Patriots were blindsided, then Drew Rosenhaus did lie about this and not tell the Patriots. Doesn't that come off in that way? And that's kind of a... it's a bad look on Schefter when he says, well, they're blindsided. But then you hear Drew Rosen, I'll say that we've been anticipating this potentially could happen.
They could have, I guess theoretically he could be right, if they were blindsided by the timing of the lawsuit. Heck, we didn't know she was going to file today. I mean, technically, that could be true. Yeah. I don't think they were blindsided by the allegations.
No.
I think they knew that there was something being alleged, that there was something being disputed. The timing of the lawsuit, they might have been blindsided by that.
So they knew that there was he potentially could be accused of rape or physical or sexual assault is what they might have known. But when that's coming, what their lawsuit might be, and do they know that it's going to be a civil lawsuit? I wonder if Drew Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown knew that, hey, it's going to be civil, though. It's not going to be any criminal trials.
Yeah, I'm
not sure.
It's a good question. Let's get back to the calls. John's in Concord. Hey, John, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Well, I guess this is going to be a good call. I got a Keepspiracy at the end.
Perfect.
All sorts of stuff. But, I mean, it's the whole timing of how she's dropping this bomb, 2 days after he signs, tells me that the NFL is involved. With her lawyer.
Oh, stop.
I
mean, really?
Why would the NFL be involved?
It's the only, because they don't want Antonio Brown playing.
Why?
For the Patriots, especially.
Why?
They just don't want, they just don't like the Patriots.
I know we've got an inferiority complex around here when it comes to the NFL. I mean, stop with this, the NFL's involved with Brittany Taylor on this lawsuit. Stop.
I believe the Raiders are. I believe the
that's different than the NFL.
Well, but I mean, maybe not the NFL, but that's an NFL team.
Because guess what? If the Patriots are in the Super Bowl again, I think the league would be just fine with that. They are the most polarizing team now in the
NFL.
Are
you sure, though?
Yes. I mean, oh my God, yes. Another year of Tom Brady in the Super Bowl?
They'd be thrilled with that. Maybe, but I think that the Raiders somehow...
What if they have a chance to go undefeated? You don't think they would want a Super Bowl with a team that's 18-0 again?
Well, okay, but...
Oh, I think the league would love
I think they would go nuts for that.
But do you think that the Raiders might have had some type of involvement in this? Because
no,
when you
look... No, I think this was Brittany Taylor and her attorney...
And her mom.
And her mom and Antonio Brown. I don't think the Raiders were involved.
So then why wouldn't she have made these... Why wouldn't she have put that lawsuit in 2 weeks ago when he was still with Oakland?
Because
and go after the 30 million.
But as Drew Rosenhaus said, he and Antonio unfortunately knew this was a possibility, probably because there was negotiations going on. Probably because there was, hey, come on, you're going to pay this and I'll just shut up. Or, no, we're not going to pay that. We'll pay you this. I mean, there was probably some talk going back and forth.
But generally, if there is talk going back and forth, and if they're like, so now you have this civil case. And so usually this is when the talk goes back and forth and they settle this case out of court, right? And they settle it. He gives her X amount of dollars. She goes away and that's it. But it's pretty kind of like when you look at this situation, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago when he was playing for the Oakland Raiders and he was going through everything, and it was the helmet, it was the feet, it was everything that was going on. This was nowhere to be found. And it's pretty ironic that a day or two after he officially signs with the New England Patriots, here this allegation of rape is dropped in the lap of everybody in the NFL, right? For everybody to see. So that tells me maybe the Raiders might have been like, all right, they knew about this, and they after the whole issue broke down with Antonio Brown, maybe they picked up the phone and said, hey, Brittany, what's going on with that?
I don't know.
I don't know about sorry, that. Sorry, I'm not going there with you.
That's a Keith Spears.
It is.
You sure you don't want to go down this road, Brittany?
Not yet.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us at the top of the hour. By the time we talk to him, the Patriots will have been on the practice field, the media portion of the practice. We'll get the photos tweeted out of whatever uniform number he's going to be wearing out on the practice field today.
84?
Doesn't have a number. Just out there, no number.
Could be in the 50s. Like, doesn't usually go like 50 or something.
Yeah. But we'll talk to Tommy Curran at the top of the hour. We'll get back to your calls in just a couple of minutes after Trending Now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to the best.
You don't just wake up one day and become the best.
And confident.
You need to be confident in yourself, Dale. That's what you would have to be.
It's Dale and Keith on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I'm advising him to let the truth come out. I'm advising him to concentrate on football. I'm advising him to cooperate with the Patriots, with the NFL, with the NFLPA. Antonio and I both strongly believe that these allegations are very serious. In no way do we condone any type of illegal conduct, misbehavior. None of that happened here. This is a money grab.
Drew Rosenhaus called it a money grab, his phraseology, not mine. He appeared on SportsCenter at noon today, just minutes after the very brief 4-minute Bill Belichick press conference in which he was fighting off, 13 or 14 Antonio Brown questions.
I was going to say, in 3 minutes, 50 seconds, whatever it was, and that included him opening up about the Dolphins, which nobody wanted to hear about. In that time was good team speed. Oh, we're all about Miami this week. We're preparing for Miami.
A good minute and a half, 2 minutes of how good Miami is.
Was all Antonio Brown. So one of the questions that was asked to Belichick during the press conference was, if they had heard about this before, if they had they known about it before. And Ian Rappaport just tweeted out, "My understanding is that neither the league nor the Patriots knew about the potential lawsuit for Antonio Brown before he signed in New England."
Hmm. I think that, well, we're parsing words here. They may not have known about the lawsuit, but they knew about the allegations. Because
see, I think maybe the parsing words thing, but if he says potential lawsuit,
right,
that would just, to me, mean any knowledge of it. And I think that the Patriots would right. know, because Rosenhaus confirmed that he knew. And he and Antonio knew.
And there is right. no way
I don't
he's
think
negotiating
so.
A contract with the Patriots and not telling them that these allegations are out there.
And the Patriots had to ask, too, not specifically for rape allegations, but they had to say, with all the stuff going on with Antonio,
what else potentially
what else is going there? On? What else? Are we going to be surprised by anything? Like, that's just day one stuff.
And if Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown, right, they're saying that they knew about this, that means that they would have information that the allegations of the sexual assault and rape were going to be coming out, right? So yeah. And they're not just going to be coming out for a story. There's got to be something that's coming out with that. So that's a potentially right. either a if civil lawsuit.
If somebody's hanging that over your head, then that would, if the knowledge equals potential lawsuit.
Right. So, whether it's civil or criminal.
Right. Right. So we're getting kind of conflicting reports, I guess, on that.
Let's get back to the calls at 6, and Tommy Kern at the top of the hour, 617-779-7937. Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen, let me get my car real quick. All right, so here's the thing. First, an opinion. If, in fact, he did these things, he should be hung upside down and whipped 24 hours a day, because that is the pain that a rape victim feels every single day for the rest of their life, no matter how much they say they've recovered. No one ever recovers from that. Now, everything that she claims in her account of what happened in the immediate aftermath of the alleged incident is entirely consistent with rape traumatic syndrome. That's a form of PTSD that it basically spiderwebs off to a thigh. I could break it down for an hour with you guys. I know I don't have that much time, so I'll keep it quick. They could go one of two routes. They could go, first, she was in shock. The fact that she claims that she fell asleep at a red light or a stop sign could explain emotional exhaustion and physical exhaustion. That's entirely understandable and consistent. Now, after the shock phase is over, and the shock phase can last days, months, years. There's no time limit on it. There's no way to predict how somebody's going to react to a situation like that. I was just telling John, like, if somebody shoved a gun in your face right now, there's no way to predict how you'd react to that.
I understand what you're saying, Mike, and I don't disagree with most of what you're saying. The only part of that that I had a hard time understanding is after she alleges mm-hmm. she was forcibly raped,
right.
she got out of the house, as you pointed out, said that she fell asleep at a stoplight. Mm-hmm. All of that makes sense to me, her reaction and how mm-hmm. she would respond to it. What I have a hard time understanding is she goes back the next morning by herself
right.
to get her stuff.
To right. that same place where
she
this horrific...
She would be traumatized,
right, where this horrific
she?
Act happened, and everything about this place, about him, mm-hmm. it just continually will bring back these horrific
right.
memories of all this stuff going on. And then to put yourself in a position to go back there by yourself and run the risk
yeah,
of it happening
more,
again.
That's much more, I guess, alarming to me than any kind of time frame. Because as Mike was sort of going into, mm-hmm. if you're experiencing shock after the fact, you're not going to necessarily go to the police station right away. Or there's maybe a feeling of shame or guilt or whatever you happen to be feeling at that time. I wouldn't say that, they're going to automatically go to the police like the very next
day. No,
that part of it
is fine. That's entirely feasible.
So if this takes a months or a year later, like that's
well, the only thing that makes the time frame a little sketchy is because when it comes out, right, when they actually file for the lawsuit, it's a couple days after he officially signs with New England, after everything.
Well, that's a little odd.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, yeah, there might be people who go years. And
I think also, and again, as much as I would say the emails that Antonio Brown sent to her, they don't paint him in a great light.
Mm-hmm.
the idea that she asked him for $1.6 million to invest in, you know, a business venture.
According to his lawyer.
Mm-hmm. According to his lawyer, right. According to his lawyer, $1.6 million in a business project, which his lawyer describes the proposed investment as something of a scheme whereby some of the money would be used to purchase property already owned by Taylor and her mother. Brown declined to invest the $1.6 million. Mm-hmm. And then you spin it into it's a civil lawsuit.
Right.
And again, she's not trying to put Antonio Brown in prison. She's trying to take money from him in right. this case, which Drew Rosenhaus said, he just flat out said it's a money grab. So there was a quick and swift denial by Antonio right. Brown's team right afterwards, which again, doesn't mean he's telling the truth or not. I'm just, those are the facts.
I've read so much of this over the last 24 hours, less than that. Was it 75,000 that she's looking for? Did I read that? Because that seems low to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, the initial investment that she wanted was $1.6 million.
Right. And I thought I read that what they were seeking was $75,000. And I thought, that doesn't seem like.
And by the way, and it's so hard to get into either Antonio Brown's mind or Brittany Taylor's mind. But if you did it, if you're Antonio Brown and you did it,
mm-hmm.
and $75,000 can make it go away.
Right.
Aren't you probably paying the $75,000 to make it go away?
You're probably taking the chance.
Don't you think you are?
Let me pay this and see if this thing does go away.
Rather than if you didn't do it, then you're like, I'm not going to pay you a dime.
But in her lawsuit, her side of the story is that she had to go back to get her stuff the mm-hmm. next day before she left town. Understand that.
Right.
And that she wanted to talk to Brown about what happened. Now, again, I've never been in that position. I can't answer
again, impossible
for what's going through her mind. A, I'd be scared to death to go back there by myself based on what happened the night before. And B, not only do I not want to talk to him, I don't even want to see him.
Ever again. Certainly by yourself, right? If you had to get something, say you left your phone behind. Well, you're bringing friends with you. You're bringing whatever else.
And the other thing that when you hear of a lot of situations that might occur like this, and you are, there is a time and period of shame, and you don't know what to do. But don't, once you get past all that, isn't the most important thing now to make sure
that guy up forever.
This person does not do it to somebody else. It does not, you know, put another person through what I've been dealing with, what I'm going to have to deal with the rest.
You would think so. But,
wouldn't you see like that be the most important thing and getting him locked up?
What we also don't know, based on the limited information we have at this point, is whether or not she did go to the police. And the police said, look, we don't have anything here. They looked at it and said, this is he said,
she
said.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be reported, though. I mean, the police are just right now.
See, I don't know that.
But the report at least doesn't indicate any.
Right. Her lawsuit doesn't say that.
That she went to.
Because then the police, what they would do is they would then send her to the hospital to have one of those.
Right. Yeah, if it happened in the immediate aftermath. However long they have.
Right. So however long that period had been. But if even if she went to the police, they would still have to. They would still have to put something together saying, okay, this is what she said, this is what she's claiming, this is what she's alleged.
Right. So there would be that. And all I'm saying is we wouldn't know unless we knew to go look for it. The fact that she didn't say that she went to the police doesn't mean she didn't.
Well, but she would then say, I did file a report with the police. And all you, that would be part.
Yeah, that eventually could come
that
out.
That would be part of what she would be.
And she's supposed to meet with the NFL next week. And maybe
but don't
we'll
you think that would be part of it?
Then.
Because that would help her case. You would say, you know, I filed a report with the Broward County Sheriff's Department.
As much evidence is and stuff that's on paper as possible.
A texter tells me that the $75,000 is required to get it into the federal court, and you obviously would then ask for more.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like a minimum standard in which you can make this a federal civil lawsuit.
Okay, that makes more sense.
And
then.
Because the number itself, I thought, well, that doesn't seem right.
Right.
No.
I mean, frankly, if she'd asked him for $75,000, this thing would be over, I think.
Right.
Yeah, Chris Villani actually just tweeted us the same thing. For a federal lawsuit, the amount in controversy, in quotes, has to be more than $75,000. He says, I'm assuming she said that, and then we'll seek additional damages once that you can prove that out in trial.
That makes sense. So the $75,000 is the minimum.
Right.
That's why the number. Because when I read it, I thought that just doesn't seem like it's anywhere near what this is, what she's looking
for. He definitely would have just paid that to go away.
Yeah, but what if she went to this? She went to the lawyer. I think she had a law firm in Florida. They would say, "Hey, listen, he just signed. He just got $30 million.
Yeah, look at how much money this is.
Let's go way after him. You know what I mean? Not like, hey, we'll start at 75 and then climb our way up."
617-779-7937. We'll talk to Tommy Curran at the top of the hour. We'll get right back to you coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now back to Dale and Keith.
Tell me who's on that show.
Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe.
Who?
Dale Arnold
that
and Rich Keefe.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
On WEEI.
Six one seven 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 nine seven ninety three seven. Let me make one final point about the timing aspect of this as we get back to the calls. Wiggy and I were just talking about this off the air. I believe her lawsuit was filed, as I said, because of the leak by Incarcerated Bob on Saturday. All of a sudden, Drew Rosenhaus said, you know, they were aware that stuff was going on. Incarcerated Bob leaks out all the text messages on Saturday. Monday morning, they're in a federal courthouse in Miami filing the lawsuit. It's my opinion, there is no way on God's green earth this woman files this lawsuit this week, the week before her wedding.
Right,
right.
She would be doing this after the wedding. She's not walking down the aisle with everybody
thinking
in America knowing that, that these allegations are out there and there's a civil suit out there. There is absolutely no way any woman would do that the week before her wedding unless they felt, okay, we got to do this now.
Now's the time, I guess.
And I wonder who sent the Incarcerated Bob. Who leaked out the DM video that we saw of those messages with Antonio Brown?
No clue.
Yeah, because I don't think it's Antonio Brown. That was another thing we were talking about there. Why would Antonio Brown want to leak out this stuff when there's no lawsuit against him, right?
You do have to admit Antonio Brown not like everybody else, right? The way he's kind of about it the last week. Like, when you start a question with why would Antonio Brown, stop right there, because he's Antonio Brown.
Right, but all this does by him, if he, and I don't think he leaked that out, but that video of the messages of some recording of them trying to get over on him, Brittany Taylor and her mother, by him leaking that out, all it does is bring now people to go, like, add more, you know, dirt to Antonio Brown's name that we've already known about. And why would you want to do that to yourself when the Brittany Taylor
I'm just telling
thing?
It because I don't know some of the stuff that he's done. Like when he released that video of he and Gruden,
but he
like
wanted
Gruden,
out of there.
Yeah, true. But Gruden actually came across better than he did. Like, yeah, it helped him get out of there, but it also public perception made him look a little bit crazier, didn't
but
it?
But there was a reason why he did it to get. What's the reason on him? Because
because maybe he just feels like, well, this is good. This is good evidence for me.
But there's no lawsuit, so what do you need this evidence for?
Yeah, true.
And you know what I mean? It allegedly the well, we know that this leaked video of the DMs came out Saturday. The lawsuit's not filed till Monday. So why do you even need to leak that?
I'm watching Patriots practice right now.
I am too. I'm not seeing an 84
so
yet.
So Patriots on their Twitter account, @Patriots, they do at the beginning of some of these practices, maybe all of them, I don't even really pay attention to it, but they just do like a live video on Twitter of just guys stretching basically and walking around. And so they're panning around. Maybe he's down there.
Who's number one?
That's going to be Antonio Brown.
Looks like
there he is.
He's
number
one. He's got number one
look
on.
At this guy.
Wow.
Jeez. It never stops.
And because they don't have a number one on the roster, and I see a number one out there on the practice field offense.
And he has a little, kind of has an Antonio Brown belt.
It's definitely him because he's down there with the receivers.
And he's got the red shoes going.
That's Josh Gordon down there. Jacoby Myers is down there. So it's definitely, I was wondering if they were going to show him. You know, maybe they just avoid it. But yeah, now he's doing
his AP skips.
Oh, they're zooming in on him now. That's definitely him. He does have a helmet on.
He won't be wearing one.
He can't.
On Sunday, he can't. But they have not yet determined what number he's going to wear So,
but it's crazy that right now he is at number one, though.
That's ridiculous.
Like out of any number,
it's just ridiculous.
Like out of any number you could get, right? No. Any number. There's got to be
give him number one.
There's got to be a million numbers around, right?
God.
Like you know, four. Is there any? Is you, like any number you could give him the number one?
Yikes!
It's like you know.
Belichick's talking to Brady right now. What do you think they're talking about?
Hey, did you tell me that this guy had
my
these,
roommate here right. has all these allegations, which are horrible.
Did you know that, Bill?
Yeah. Bill's like, yeah, I know.
Bill's
don't
like,
say a word.
Bill's like, yeah, Brady. Tom, you know we put out a statement, right? Can't answer those right now.
Dan's in New Hampshire. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
How you doing?
Dan. What's going on?
Love the program, guys.
Thank you.
Two things that are kind of troubling here for me are, again, like you guys have talked about a lot about the timing of all of this. And then, I mean, another really important issue is, you know, I've known a lot of people who've been victims of sexual assault or rape throughout the course of my life. It's actually, unfortunately, a pretty common occurrence in our society today. And people who have been sexually assaulted or raped don't tend to go towards looking for some kind of financial compensation for it first. In fact, even if they can't, they pursue criminal charges against somebody, they tend to, and the, you know, the criminal charges fail and the case gets dropped, they tend to not file civil suits afterward and go for money because there's no amount of money that ever makes this right for these
right.
people.
Exactly.
This woman went straight to a civil suit filing for money, and she'd already tried to go after and ask Antonio Brown for money. And when that failed, now all of a sudden she's got a civil suit for a rape that, you know, that allegedly happened, and she just wants money.
Look, it's not unprecedented. We mentioned the Derrick Rose case. That mm-hmm. happened in that case as well, where he was not criminally charged, but
right.
there was a civil lawsuit filed. He was ultimately, by the way, found not responsible of the allegations made against him. So it's not unprecedented, but usually, not all the time, a criminal case is filed first, and then the civil
right.
case follows that.
Right.
Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us in just a few minutes. It's Dale and Keefe. Wiggy's in the house as well. Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.